This is In the Room with Sean Clancy.
I'm Sean Clancy, and I'm in the room with jockey Declan Carroll. In a career that began in 2018, the 22-year-old has tallied 116 wins and over $4 million in purses and is presently the second leading rider at Arlington Park. Welcome to the show, Declan.
Thanks, Sean. Thanks for having me on.
You've ridden the Kentucky circuit. You tried New York for a winter, and you've done fairgrounds. Now you're second leading rider at Arlington Park. Take us through that decision to go there.
After fairgrounds, we knew going into Churchill it was going to be very tough. So it was best off if I think I could come to a place where I think it was a little more wide open. Horses were available, and I could get the opportunity to ride lots of horses and have some good chances to do well here and kind of establish myself and prove myself along the way.
And that's worked so far for sure. It looks like you have good business and you're winning races.
Yes, no, so far it has. We've been very lucky. My agent, Penny Fitch Hayes, has done a tremendous job. It's very hard to be somewhere and you don't really have an agent that can get you those rides. And fortunately enough, Penny has done a tremendous job at that for me.
That's great. She's an old jump jockey, isn't she? Man, she's right yes. right up my alley. I love that.
Yes. She's done a little bit of everything.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, what's it like to ride at Arlington? Is it an adjustment? You know, it's synthetic and big, wide, sweeping turf course, but is it an adjustment from other tracks?
It was for about the first week. It just took me a little bit to get used to the synthetic. The last time I was on synthetic was at Woodbine when I rode my first race, so that was a while back. I was fortunate enough to get up here a few weeks early, though, to start breezing horses, so I had a good feel of it. For the turf course, turf courses usually for me are pretty easy to adapt to, so it's no problem. A tremendous turf course they had here at Arlington. It was nice to get that rain here this past week, so it's a little brighter and greener now.
Sure. Take us back to the beginning. I mean, your dad trained horses and comes from a family of jockeys. Your mom's involved in the horse business. Was it always something you wanted to be? I mean, a jockey, like, I mean, that's where I was as a kid. That's all I ever wanted to be. Was the same thing?
Yes. That's all I've ever wanted to do, going from racetrack to racetrack with my dad, traveling to all the different race courses, going to the races every day. So it's kind of something that was always engraved in me. My parents always gave me the options and had me playing all kinds of sports, but it just wasn't for me. Horses was my first love, and from the show horses to the race horses, it's what I like to do.
And did your dad ever try to talk you out of it?
No,
pushing you that way?
No, he never pushed me either. He was always just very supportive and helped me every step of the way. From being a very young age, going up to Saratoga with him when he had his string there, to going down to Delaware Park, to Keeneland, to Churchill, to sending me off to Ireland, fortunate enough, when I was 17 to 18. There for the summer, I learned a lot there. So he's been very supportive every step of the way.
Wow, that's great. And what was Ireland? What'd you do in Ireland? Who did you work for there?
I work for Michael Halford, who has a private yard. Beautiful facility he has. It's just, you know, horses kind of, they're in the same place, but when they go off to work, they can just about 10 minutes away from the Curra. So we would go there sometimes. But it's just a whole different atmosphere and the way things are done. I would have about myself five lots, five different horses usually every day, but you do everything from tacking them up to bathing them to cleaning their stall from the morning back in the afternoon. So it's very hands-on, and it was I loved the way it's done because you kind of learn how to be a horseman and just the way I think, unfortunately, not many people are brought up to see that way.
No question. But do you ever think about going back there? I mean, I know the weights are higher up there.
No, that was never really a thought in my mind, unless you're offered a contract with a huge yard. Getting the opportunities out there are very, very difficult. Not saying that here in America they're not, but I think it's much more open in America.
For sure.
No jockey is a stable jockey. So I think in the, you know, of course, even, you know, prize money, look, you have to look at the prize money too. It's your career. So I would never a thought really to ride out there, but, hopefully one day we'll get the opportunity to maybe ride a Royal Ascot or somewhere around there.
Yeah, there you go. Less Coolmore calls. I know Coolmore
yeah.
calls. You answer the phone, right?
Yep, I'll be on the first plane over.
Yeah. And your dad's involvement, does he critique your rides, or does he just, you know, what's he like?
He's my biggest critic and my biggest supporter. but, you know, he's done it his whole life, so he knows the ins and outs, and he's the first one to text me after a race and the first one to call me when the races are over. So I'm very lucky to have that, even though some days may not go the way I want them, or he may tell me something that I already knew right after, but he's telling me, and if he didn't tell me, he wouldn't care. So it's very nice to have a supportive family.
No question. What's his biggest piece of advice? I mean, what's he tell you, or what's his, like, kind of main thing?
Just, like, you know, overall in general, just to always work hard and keep a positive attitude and treat everyone with respect. Racing-wise, just, you know, learn from every race and take the races as they go. You can't carry the race you just rode on to the next one. Win or lose, or rode a bad race, rode a great race, the race is over. So move on to the next race. Because that trainer or the people you're riding for are looking forward to that race, and you can't bring a bad attitude out to them just because maybe a race before didn't go your way. So I've always had that ingrained in me, and I've kind of carried that out through my career.
Yeah, that's important. Walk out there with a positive attitude. And they always say, you know, that nobody, whether you come home from a day's race or you walk out in the paddock for the next race, nobody should know how you did
exactly.
in the race before, you know.
No, like exactly. The, yeah. Exactly. No matter if you're going out there for a 99-1 or a 1-9, those people are all working those hours, and they're putting in as much work as the top barns from a guy that has one horse to a guy that has 300. That's always something that I've learned, to always just be positive and go out there with all the confidence in the world.
Exactly. Back on January 31st, I sent a text to your dad. What a ride. Congrats. Do you know which race I was referring to?
January 31st. Was that at Houston?
Yeah.
Yeah, Houston, Palazzi.
Exactly. The Texas Mile for Mark Cassie.
Yeah.
That was about as good a ride as I've ever seen. I mean, snaking through traffic, put your head down, and just rode through the line. Tell us about that race. That'd be a big thrill to win one like that for Mark and your dad, who could have been in your corner.
No, it was a huge. The horse had been working tremendously down at Fairgrounds. I've worked about every horse in Mark's barn. Fortunate enough to do that and get many opportunities. But leading up to Texas, Palazzi had been working tremendous. He's giving us all the confidence in the world going there. We thought the race would suit him just perfect. So when we went into the race, I broke a step slower than I would have liked. I was placed behind the eventual second place winner all the way around there. But he kind of he got through on the rail, and I was able to just sit and just be patient, because I thought just there, I have plenty of time to get up around the bend. There's no need to move too early there. I may even, you know, I was lucky I got up at the wire at the time, but it's a turf with a big sweeping turn. So once I got around there and I got him going, he's a big horse that just takes some time. And once I got him going, he's all head of steam down the lane, and he just gave us a great kick. And, you know, he's been doing well since our race. You know, he's been in some tough races, been running well. Some unlucky draws, unfortunately, but I think there's more to come from him.
Yeah, he's a nice horse, and that was a brilliant ride. So you got your fans out there. I was looking to text your dad for your number for this interview conversation, and I looked back, and that was like one of the. I don't text your dad often, but we had a good exchange after that, which was fun. You know, it's very. I know it was a lot of pride from him. And take us back to riding Empire Gold in the Breeders' Cup Sprint at Keeneland, Declan. You finished fourth at a big price. What was that like? Had to be a big thrill to ride a race like that.
Yeah, no, that was a great day getting to ride the Breeders' Cup. A lot of my agent at the time, Jose Santos Jr., that was all him getting that ride. I was very fortunate enough to get that opportunity. Empire Gold, I was able to gallop him through the week. He's a lovely moving horse. He gave us all the confidence going into the race. Obviously, it's a very tough task. He wasn't getting the respect coming from the races he's coming from. But if you looked at his form was great. So he's second in the Phoenix by Diamond Ooze. Going in there, look, he broke like a rocket. I was able to position myself right outside of the Japanese runner that Jose Ortiz was on at the time. He was setting, you know, quick fractions for it, but obviously in a Breeders' Cup sprint, you are going to go quick. So I was able to just sit off there, and I was able to kind of just wait, bide my time. And then turning for home, I actually hit the top of the front. It was a very exciting feeling, obviously. Not many people get to experience that. It was a nice turn for home. At the 16th pole, he just got a little weary on me, kind of switched to his wrong lead, but he was a very gutsy horse, and he's all heart. Haven't been on him since, obviously, because I've been in different areas. He had a nice winter at Oaklawn, and then I think he may be going to Prairie Meadows for the stake, but I'm not quite sure. But, yeah, it was a great experience.
No question to be in that kind of race at that moment, for sure. And growing up, who are your heroes? I mean, as far as jockeys go, I mean, who do you try to emulate?
Being around jockeys like my whole life and kind of growing up, you know, seeing them, how they and following them. A big supporter of mine would be Florent Drew. He's always been, you know, he's always texted me or called me after races. He was a big advocate for me coming to Arlington. Since he was here before and at Hawthorne, he kind of gave me a lot of advice coming here, and he's always helped me throughout. And many jockeys have Adam Biskitza. Adam Biskitza is very close to me. He's always been a big supporter of mine. Even lived with my dad down at Fairgrounds a couple years ago, so I got to know him really well. Julien Leparoux, just a bunch of those guys. I've been very friendly with them for a long time. Not many people, you know, have that. So I've been very lucky. And of course, Gary Carroll, who's my cousin in Ireland, who actually had his first Royal Ascot winner for Eclipse Thoroughbred.
Yeah.
So, I'd like to say I've been very fortunate to be along these great group of guys and learn every day from them.
For sure. I mean, that's what you got. You need those guys around you. And how do you deal with the mental part? I mean, I know riding as a young kid, it was the ups and downs of riding. I mean, the weight, the losses, the pressure. I mean, is that something that comes easy, or how do you deal with that type of the pressure of being a jockey?
Look, mental health is a big issue in our game. As there's a little short movie coming out of it that just shows how severe it can be to some riders. Everyone handles their things differently. My days, I've been, as I think a big part of me being able to handle it well is I seen my dad go through the struggles as a trainer when he was on his own, and he's always told me that you can't. Like I said, you can't worry about the things that may bug you or if you may get beat in a race or taken off for a certain horse. I've had to adapt and kind of move on with it, and I'm lucky I can do that. Some people can't, and they hold on to it, and they bring that through their day or their week, their month, their year. I'm lucky to have a great support system as my dad, my mom. They've been in this game a long, long time. So I'm always allowed to talk to them about things if I need to. But I think the best thing is to always look forward and look for the next opportunity instead of dwelling on it.
That's so important. Exactly right. And I think that background of being in the horse game your whole life probably helps with that. You've dealt with it and watched your family deal with it, I guess.
Yes. No. And look, I never wanted to see him go through the struggles my dad had to go through, my mom and when they had their business, and my dad had a few string at Saratoga, and personally, I think, you know, my dad's and a lot of people agree, he's a very good horseman, and he knows what he's doing, and but he never got some of the opportunities you see a lot of people get that, I think he deserved a lot better in his career than he's able to achieve, because I see what he does day in and day out, and how hands-on he is. But I'm fortunate enough to learn from them.
That's Declan Carroll, climbing the ladder at Arlington Park. The sky's the limit, kid. Declan, thanks for being on the show.
I appreciate you having me on, Sean. Thank you.